Thank you, sweet daughter Robin. I appreciate that. I had my time this morning in God's Word, and I was in the book that my name, of course, is the same as the name of that book, and book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse number 3. Listen to this. Here was my verse for the day. I always have a word for the day. Oh, that we might know the Lord, let us press on to know Him. Press on. I don't believe in coincidences. I think God had something to say to my heart and to yours today, and I am so thankful for that. How many of you remember the story of a woman who was taken in the very act of adultery, brought and thrown down at the feet of Jesus? How many of you remember the story? Yeah, that's a very, very familiar story. You'll probably remember that on that occasion, Jesus stooped down and began to write in the dust. We do not know what was written. We do know, however, what was said when He stood up. He looked up and He said to those who were holding the stones, "Let him who is without sin finish it. Cast the first stone." And while we do not know exactly how it would have been, we can certainly imagine that you began to hear the rocks fall. Thump. And the Bible says from the oldest, who had had the most practice with sin, to the youngest, they went out. So that he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "They're not here anymore." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Why did Paul write 1 Corinthians 13? You may not ask yourself the question, but you ought to. In fact, when you go to Scripture, you ought to be asking that kind of question. Why is it here? What's he writing about? What is he saying about what he's writing about? So I ask again, why did Paul write 1 Corinthians 13? You think he wrote it so that we could have these sweet weddings and read it in weddings? Think that's why he wrote it? You'd be wrong. No, it's good for that. I've got no problem with it, but that's not why he wrote it. That's not why he wrote it. You see, Paul wrote to a church in trouble. He wrote to a church where division was rampant. He wrote to a church where they were misunderstanding one another and misunderstanding the ministry, misunderstanding Paul himself. He wrote to a church where a man was sleeping with his stepmother. He wrote to a church where even in worship they were messed up and he had to correct them. Even at the Lord's Supper table, they were messed up. Why did he write 1 Corinthians 13 in the midst of all that mess? Listen to me. I think he wrote it to bring them to repentance. I do. I think it's precisely positioned where it is in the letter. I think Paul knew that there was one hope for that church. And that hope was Jesus Christ and His love. Love. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about love is closer than you think. We've not actually talked much about that, although I'm going to today. But we've talked about love and how love is essential. Man, you can do anything and everything for God, but if you do not have love, then it is worthless. It counts nothing. It is not profitable. And remember what I said, without love, we lose. Without love, we lose. That's true of any Christian. It's certainly true of any church. Starting with verse 4 of the 13th chapter, we begin to address the reality that love is visible. You can see what it is. You can see what it is not. You can see what it does. You can see what it does not do. Love is visible. And I shared with you that where love shows, light shines. Talking about the light of Jesus. But I think Paul was bringing them to the point of humility. Look back in your Bible. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Imagine with me for a moment that all the members of the church at Corinth were rock carriers. Oh, they always had one handy. You never know when you might need it out in the hallway. Huh? You never know when you might need it in a Sunday school classroom. You never know when you might need it in a worship service. So always had an extra rock tucked in their pocket, ready to throw at somebody else. And just imagine that as they begin to have this read to them, they started dropping their rocks. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Thunk. There's some more. In fact, can you imagine them? They're in that worship time and they read this letter and they dropped the rocks and some of them started leaving. Started leaving. Remembering that Jesus said, he who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. The stones are falling. And then verse 4 starts us down the road to humility. Love suffers long. Do you hear the stones start to fall? Love is kind. Hear the rocks fall? How about the ones in your pocket? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. The stones are falling, people leaving. Does not behave rudely. Heard some, several fall. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. I hear the rocks fall. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now, can I tell you? Listen to me. If I stopped right there, I would have to drop some rocks. And I would have to leave also. I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm simply saying, this kind of love is beyond me. And if I don't already know it, I'm getting ready to know it. Is your Bible still open? Because the superlatives that Paul uses here will bring everybody to their knees. He says in verse number 7, love bears all things. Are you listening? It bears all things. That is, it patiently accepts all things. It's loyal no matter the cost. It's always supportive. It never gives up. Some people read it, love covers all things. I have a book in my library that was insightful. The title of the book was based on an Irish proverb. And the proverb was, we live in the shelter of each other. But what happens when we do not give that shelter to one another? Love ought to protect from harm. Love ought to protect from ridicule. Love ought to protect from gossip. Even when sin is present, love seeks to deal with it as gently as possible. But if that's not enough, it not only bears all things, number 2, it believes all things. Oh, I hear the rocks fall. It believes all things. It's always trusting, never loses faith. And in a world of suspicion and cynicism, that's saying a lot. Love puts the best frame on any picture. Love always seeks to give the benefit of the doubt. And then if that's not enough, he adds another one. Love hopes. all things. It's always hopeful, always expecting the best. Remain strong even through times of testing, and especially in relationship. Always positive. And I hear the rocks fall. Hear the rocks fall. And then, love endures all things. Ouch. I think that rock fell on my foot. Ouch. Love endures all things. It's strong in every circumstance. It is a military term. It means to sustain the assaults of an enemy. Love endures all things. And if I am not totally wrecked by now with how far I fall short, He nails me. In chapter 13, verse 8, first three words, love never fails. I think Paul wants me to repent. Let me read this in a way that doesn't ring true. Is your Bible still open? I'm going to read it a little differently. Verse 4. Hosea suffers long. Hosea is kind. Hosea does not envy. Hosea does not parade himself. Hosea is not puffed up. Hosea does not behave rudely. Hosea does not seek his own. Hosea is not provoked. Hosea thinks no evil. Hosea does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Hosea bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Hosea never fails. And I say, woe is me. I can't do that. You've brought me to this place and time. You've challenged me to love, and I can't do it. I've tried. And oh, I've tried. But you've never lived with her. You've never lived with him. You've never lived with them. You've never had that circumstance. And by the way, just so you know, I was talking theoretically, not about sweet Debbie. And that's the truth. But do you understand what I'm saying? Every one of us ought to have dropped all of our rocks by now. They ought to all be on the ground. And if we left this room, it'd be empty right now. Nobody here. Nobody here. You say, well, that's certainly uplifting, Pastor, that we are all miserable failures when it comes to love. So what do we need to do? Try a little harder? Yeah, that's it. Just get up and decide today you're going to be nice. You've not been nice, but you're just going to try better. So come Monday morning, I make myself a pledge. When I get out of bed this morning, I'm going to be nice. About 12 minutes and you're past it. You know what I mean? I mean, the whole world conspires to make you ugly, and so it happens again. How in the world are we going to overcome this? How are we going to do that? If love never fails, and if that standard is clarified so that our sin will be confronted, if that is true, and I know it is, then how shall we do differently? By the way, I've found we love to confess the sins of others. But when it comes to our own sins, we are kings and queens of denial. But love is essential and love is visible, and now we find that love is eternal. It never fails. Then we're all in trouble. Now, I got some good news for you. Love is closer than you think. That's what this series has been about. I'm just now getting to it, really. But it's closer than you think. You say, how can you say that? We've just demonstrated that none of us live up to that text. If you put our life against it, we are all failures. So how can you say love is closer than you think? You ready? So simple. Love is closer than you think because Jesus is closer than you think. Now listen, if you are not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, and you say, I've never known a love like that. My mama didn't love me that way. My daddy didn't love me that way. My siblings don't love me that way. I don't think there is such a love. I'm here to tell you, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that love is closer than you think, because Jesus is here. And He'll meet you. And He'll love you in spite, indeed, especially because He died for your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world. What about believers? Oh, it's even better. Jesus is not just here, but for the child of God, listen, watch this, Jesus is here. Love is closer than you think because Jesus is closer than you think. He's as close as your breath. He's as close as your heartbeat. He's as close as any part of you because He is in you. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Yes. That's how close He is. You say, what does that got to do with love? Glad you ask. I'm going to read one more time. You ready? Got your Bible? See how this feels to you. See how this feels to you. Verse 4, Jesus. Jesus suffers long, and Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy, and Jesus does not parade Himself. And Jesus is not puffed up, and Jesus does not behave rudely. And Jesus does not seek His own, and Jesus is not provoked. And Jesus thinks no evil, and Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity. And Jesus does rejoice in truth. And Jesus bears all things, and Jesus believes all things, and Jesus hopes all things, and Jesus endures all things, and Jesus never fails. Hallelujah! Hear me carefully. If it were up to me in my flesh, I would not love all of you. And if it were up to you in the flesh, you all would not love me. No. In fact, there are people on the pew with you wouldn't love, huh? Don't say amen. I don't want to hear that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, see, there's got to be something more here, and there is. Listen to me because I think it's fundamental. It is this: what I cannot do, Jesus can through me. So Jesus can love you through me. And I got to tell you something, He's doing it. He's doing it all the time with me. I know it's not my love, I know it's His love. But His love is unleashed in my life through faith. The Bible says, and Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so even if I might not be able to love you, brother, and I can, the truth of the matter is Jesus can love you through me. It is the love of Jesus Christ through me. It is not my love. It is His love. And with Jesus, all things are possible. And that person that just got on your last nerve, Jesus can love them through you. That's the truth. That simply means this. Love is closer than you think because Jesus lives in you. I'm talking to Christians now. The most important lesson you may ever learn is this. Depend constantly upon Jesus. Don't depend upon your ability. Don't simply think I'm going to try harder next week. Don't do that. It doesn't work. No. Run to the cross. Run to Jesus. Submit yourself to Him. Surrender yourself. Die. Die to self. Put yourself, identify with the cross. Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Depend totally, constantly upon Jesus Christ. Say to Him, Lord, I can't love that person, but You can. And You can love them through me. Jesus said it so clearly in John 15, didn't He? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Now watch this analogy. It's directly related to what I'm saying. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me or remains in me bears much fruit. For
Without me, you can do
nothing.
Say it again. Without me, you can do
nothing.
Any part of that you don't understand? That's exactly what it means. Listen, there is no Christian living apart from Jesus Christ. There's no Christian loving apart from Jesus Christ. Learn to depend totally upon Him. Let Him live in you. Let Him live through you. Let Him love in you. Let Him love through you. When you do, then love becomes a reality, not because of your ability, but because of His. And by the way, when that happens, who gets the glory? Jesus Christ. Never me, never you. I have reached the time and stage and age in my life that it's not unusual for me to say this to people. One of the ways that I know there's a God is that I love all of you. I do not say this with ego, because this is a supernatural work of God. Know what I'm talking about? It's God who's at work in me. There's not a person on the planet that I do not believe that Jesus can love through me, and I release and invite Him to do exactly that. How many of you are still carrying rocks in your pockets? You're ready to throw it at a fellow Christian. You're ready to throw that rock at a pastor. You're ready to throw that rock at a young person. You're ready to throw that rock at anyone who is different than you are. Have you got any rocks in your pockets? Then my prayer is this. Take them out. Lay them on an altar. Take them out and drop them on the floor. Don't walk out with any more rocks. And do not believe this is impossible. Because through Christ, all things are possible. Ridgecrest Baptist Church is experiencing right now revival. You say, Pastor, that sounds like preacher talk. Let me give you an illustration or two. Since the 1st of September, we have added 16 members by letter, 10 more by statement, that's 26, 14 more by baptism. That's in 1 month. As of this moment in time, 40 people have taken a step forward in their Christian life. 40 people, members now, that were not members on the 31st day of August. We are in revival, but Satan doesn't want you to know that. Satan doesn't want you to know that. I asked Kevin Keene. Hi, Kevin. Kevin does a super job for us in our financial ministry and directs that ministry. I asked Kevin to send me an answer to this question. Kevin, in addition to our payment on our loan, we still have a loan on this facility, in addition to that payment, how much additional principal have we paid? And he sent me the number. In addition to the payment, which we pay every month, obviously, in addition, we have paid $195,792 on the principal. We're in revival. We're in revival. And he went ahead and another step and told me that since the first of the year, we've lowered that note. In other words, the total principal paid, $294,161. Last Wednesday night at Nixa High School, that morning there were young people at schools all over the area, and many of them from Ridgecrest at the various schools. But that evening at Nixa High School, our own student pastor, Joe Nelson, led in a worship service involving 9 churches, worship led by the worship young people from the Assembly of God Church in Nixa. I think the number was 276 young people gathered there, and they praised Jesus, and Joe taught them from the Bible. We're in revival. We're in revival. I want to tell you something. The one thing that will kill that is when we take the rocks out of our pockets and throw them at somebody else. You put the rocks on the floor.
Yes, sir.
Leave them there. Why? Because love is essential. Why? Because love is visible. And when love shows, the light shines. Why? Because love is eternal. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And now by these three, faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. It's closer than you think. Let's pray. Well, Father, you know who's been carrying the rocks? I've carried more than my share in the years gone by. I pray there'll not be one single rock left in my pocket, in my hand. And I pray that for your people. Oh, thank you for the revival. Thank you for the revival. For those that were baptized a few moments ago, thank you for the revival. For those who are becoming part of this fellowship, thank you for the revival. Father, for the way you've blessed us, the way you've blessed us, thank you for the revival. Lord, thank you for who you are and all you do. Bless now in this invitation. There's a boy or girl here, and they are right where I was, 12 years old, maybe a different age, but they know they're lost. And they know they need a Savior, and His name's Jesus. And they've been taught in Sunday school, or mom and dad, or grandma, or grandpa, or somebody. They've been taught and taught well. And today's their day, and they're ready. And Father, help them to have the courage to come. If they're in the balcony or on the main level, to come. Father, maybe a teenager, maybe a man or woman, maybe it's a senior adult who's never given their life to Jesus. Oh, how much you love them, Lord. I pray that they'll understand love is closer than they think, and they can come and be loved right here today. Father, I pray for hundreds and hundreds of Christian people, that we would put all of the rocks down and that we would begin to love, indeed to let Jesus love through us. I pray it in His precious name.